Hello, and thank you for joining the Connection Therapy Podcast. This is a podcast about the craft of psychotherapy, and we seek to support those who strive to improve their craft by sharing research about the science and stories about the art of psychology. Together, we will explore these findings so you can decide how you want to apply them to benefit your practice. For a long time, I've been interested in the relationship between what is outside and what is inside. As a mental health therapist, I'm always curious about how someone is displaying themselves, either in the children that I work with in terms of behaviors on the playground, for example, or survivors of trauma and abuse in terms of how they function after the trauma in maybe different environments and things. In other words, what as a mental health therapist can I get curious about and support someone in being as comfortable as possible in a wide variety of, you know, the environments that as humans we all need to be able to participate in. And that has led to my curiosity about being a mental health therapist in general, actually. And also this idea that as technology continues to increase in its capacities, the idea that as a mental health therapist, I can get better at doing that, perhaps by triangulating, if you will, my own impressions of what I hear and see, along with increasing my education in terms of how nonverbals work, and then perhaps considering, at least for research purposes, the inclusion of biofeedback mechanisms that look at internal states such as heart rate variability. So the complication is there's a lot of data to be combined in order to understand how to work with all this information in therapy. But I think it's incumbent on us as mental health therapists to continue to learn about how and why this works. And I think what we're going to find is that there's a part of our own nervous systems that has been able to pick it up all along, and we just need to start figuring out how to translate our own awareness of these different signals that we're receiving. Today, I have a study that further illuminates the connections here, which I have been wanting to do to just confirm that there are a variety of perspectives and theories, but also research that shows this to be true, that our nervous systems coincide with the facial features we display. And lately I've been exploring voice prosody, and that those have a relationship to our internal mood or emotions. And the study I have today is called Autonomic Function, Voice and Mood States, and it's published by a research team in Seoul, South Korea in 2011 in the journal Clinical Autonomic Research. And the first three authors are Park, Lee, and Park. And I will list the full citation in the show notes. And what they did is they took 75 college students and they were asked to complete a profile of mood states, you know, in other words, how are they feeling emotionally, and then asked to produce or say a vowel sound, and it was the vowel A, for 3 seconds so that some acoustic parameters could be calculated. And then they took pulse rate variability, which is a proxy for heart rate variability, which I've spoken about quite a bit on the podcast. And that would be the proxy measurement for autonomic nervous system function. So you can see already we have a lot of proxies, and I think it's important that we recognize, you know, we're still trying to use a variety of data points to get at what we think we're investigating. And it's important to remember that each sort of step along the way, we're using approximations or other kind of stand-in methods to measure that. So I take that to mean that we need to approach this with humility, that this is what we think we know based on how well we're able to measure things currently. What they found was that the pulse rate variability had a way of demonstrating fatigue in the participants, and for women could also pick up depression or anger off of the pulse rate variability, like I said, the similarity to heart rate variability. And then in terms of voice, when there was a shimmer or some kind of difference from the normal frequency, this was related to roughness and instability in voice quality, which I'm having to write now a little instability while I try to figure out exactly what they're telling us here, that this is indicative of tension and depression in the participants. So it's suggesting, per their conclusions, that the mood states or emotions in these participants can be estimated from pulse rate variability and the acoustic parameters. So that was a fairly complex way for me to explain what I explained off the top, which is that, in fact, there are research studies, and we have one here that is suggesting there's a relationship between the voice, the pulse rate variability, or how our heart beats, and our mood. Again, I just can't get over it. It's like so obvious, but yet somehow impressive to me that these things are showing up so clearly. I wanted to re-emphasize this so that we can continue with confidence this exploration of how many ways there are to understand how our patients are feeling or doing in the mental health therapy process. And I think it's really important that we start realizing too that as members of the human species, we have all the skills inside us to be able to sense these things, because our own nervous systems will be affected by the presentation of another being. And there were some studies that I chose not to highlight because I'm frankly not quite sure what to do with them yet. But while we were on this topic, I did see a variety of research articles about machines learning how to detect emotional states from facial and voice features. I have so many concerns about where that could go once machines learn how to do that, which is one among other reasons why I'm not reviewing these studies yet on the podcast, because I have some strong thoughts about introducing machines into the field of mental health, even though I acknowledge that they're already here. There's already lots of ways that machines have entered into the field, and I'm trying to keep an open mind before I make too many conclusions. But what I will say here in this episode that's relevant is that if machines can learn, quote, quote, learn how to read these signals in humans, then these signals, in this case being voice features and facial features, then that means we as humans are already reading them. And in other words, if these features are discernible enough to be digitally captured on video or audio, then we are already picking up these signals in the therapy office, and for that matter, in the world, through our own perceptions and our own experience of being present while these signals are being displayed. So for me, this has the implication that we must really start understanding the associations to mood and emotional states from these physical feature displays in order to better our practice of psychotherapy. And that's what I'm hoping to do in the podcast and why I keep coming back to these types of studies. For me, this one illustrates very clearly the idea of the polyvagal theory, where there's that brain face heart circuit that Poor just discussed, in that what's coming through our brain and heart is displayed on our face and comes, you know, as basically as what any way that we can express ourselves, which includes our voice. And I think it also has a significant implication that I hear about a lot when I consult with other therapists and support new therapists entering into the field. And that is, we're gonna have to start trusting our own intuitions and internal states, because with how much information, like I say, this idea that machines can pick this up off of video and audio recordings suggests to me that I'm sure many of us are highly intuitive. That typically is one feature that draws people to the field of mental health. But it could be that our intuitions are actually our observations. So hear me out for a second. A lot of times, you know, we have the idea that we, you know, think we intuit something from our patients, and I'm confident that we do. I know we do. But also, I think we have to start making space for some of those knowing moments to be display moments of what we're seeing ever so subtly in the person's facial features, in the way they move their body, in the way they speak about things, in the way they change their voice as they recount different memories. And so for me, I work from a position of taking all this information in and trying to make it an exploration as opposed to a confirmation. And I think that's really important in this discussion, because sometimes we hear and see things we wish we didn't, you know? Like sometimes we hear and see things that are contrary to what we hope is happening for the person. And that can be hard to acknowledge. And there's all kinds of ways our own biases and frankly wishes for the person in front of us can override our awareness of what we're actually seeing and hearing. And that's just normal. That's a normal part of being human. Definitely a normal part of being a therapist. But one reason why I've been so curious about this variety of factors of ways we can confirm our instincts and intuitions in the field of mental health therapy is because I feel like it advances the field overall. And I guess as a member of the field of psychology, I would like to see what we could do to gain as much data as possible and find ways together in learning how we're going to implement that, both together as members of the field of psychotherapy and in the field of mental health, but also together with our patients. Because I think what's also going to happen is that the technology that's available now to researchers and practitioners is already and will become even more available to consumers. And what that means is we're going to be asked these questions, if we're not already, about the associations of these physical characteristics to the mood and emotional things that we are already discussing in our offices. And I would like to be a resource for you in that discussion, and also a colleague. There's so many ways that the technology is advancing more quickly than our practice and policy decisions about how we, you know, make sense of all this data and implement it into the practice of our craft. So that's what I would like to leave this episode with, is the hopefully inspiration to continue this journey. As a reminder, these researchers were able to find relationships between the mood states reported by the participants in their study to the pulse rate variability or movements of the heart to the voice or acoustic parameters. And all three of those things were lining up in their study, which tells us that on average, more than likely, they're lining up in our therapy offices. And so I will continue to provide episodes to help us better understand what this means and how we can best incorporate it into our practices. Thank you. I hope you'll join us again for future explorations in the field of psychology. And if you'd like to take a step further, there are additional ways to obtain more education and support on our website, connectiontherapypodcast.com. While there, you will find information about the authors and studies featured in the podcast episodes. Also, you will see a schedule of live trainings I offer on the topics featured in the podcast. And you will find information about the Connection Community, a growing group of mental health clinicians dedicated to the study and practice of psychotherapy. Please check out our website, connectiontherapypodcast.com, to learn more. Thanks. Until next time.